The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to his disciples. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among you. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May I speak in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Although he's not here this morning, I would like to start by saying thank you to Tim for inviting me to preach today, but also a big thank you to all of you as congregation for the warm and kind reception I've received since I started attending St. Holy Trinity 2 years ago. Thank you very much. Today's readings, though, were taken out of context of their background, seem hard and different. As a teenager, we had a project at school. We were asked to research and produce a project with geographical and historical information based on our local area. I lived in rural Gloucestershire, and my research took me to the records of a local village church, and the story that unfolded shook me. A 16-year-old girl working in a large house became pregnant out of wedlock, as the report said. And using the Matthew reading as their example of what to do, she was called before a meeting of the local congregation in the church. A group of 12 men of position in the village was set as a jury to decide her fate. That group of men included the master of the house where she worked and his eldest son, the father of the child. The record was written by the young curate in his first position. The girl was found guilty of immorality. She was flogged and set in the stocks on a December day and cast out from her job and her home. And as she was an orphan, she had nowhere to go. The curate's wife was so distressed by this event that she persuaded her husband to take the girl in, and he entered the father's name as an addendum to the original account. She found love and care, but there was a cost for the curate and his wife, as he also had to find a new position. The master of the house held the living of the parish and made it clear that the curate must move. Another of his sons was the rector. The curate's position was untenable. The curate and his wife and the 16-year-old girl moved together. We live in a time when we are told people only concentrate, listen to the spoken word, for between 2 and 5 minutes. In a time when some politicians prefer to send tweets rather than communicating in reasoned arguments. And when a soundbite is used to communicate facts and ideas. But this leaves each story open to interpretation without the understanding of how the original sender reached their conclusion, on which facts the soundbite was based, and how the sender had interpreted the ideas. So, for example, we hear of a medical discovery and then are surprised that the results are not available for use failing to comprehend that this is the initial stage. Discovery has to be proved, developed, and rigorously tested before it is available for use. Communication raised hope, but failed to convey the complexity of the process. Failure to complete that process could create another thalidomide situation. And this is what we need to understand. The last 150 years have seen so many changes in the way that we live. From horse and cart to car, from oil lamps to electric lighting, from posted letter to email, from newspaper to 24-hour news media. Everything reaches us more quickly, but perhaps we miss out on the deeper thought process in the speed of communication. Taken out of context, our Bible, the Quran, and any Holy Scripture passage can be interpreted according to the whim of the user. A portion of what is written can be sectioned off and used as a soundbite, creating a misunderstanding of the text and a reworking of the message, allowing those searching for a meaning and a way of interpreting life to be misdirected into dangerous and hostile areas, ideas, and actions. And so if we set today's readings back into their place in the story of God's people, what do they tell us now? Ezekiel was alive when the Israelites were in exile. They were in servitude to a foreign power. They had moved from their country away from the lands around Jerusalem. Many of them were no longer following the ways of their faith, no longer allowing themselves to be led by God. Ezekiel, a prophet, is trying to bring the people back to God. But the passage just read, Ezekiel's role is equated to that of a watchman looking out upon the land, looking to warn everyone if danger is coming. His role is to be alert and speak out, to say what he sees, and when he sees things that are not compatible with the faith of the people. He is warned if he fails to do this, the burden of what will happen will rest upon him. I am sure of what he said was not liked by those he was speaking to. As our society becomes more secular, as an understanding of what it means to live by faith becomes less known and understood, then for church leaders to speak out in society becomes more difficult, often criticized as not relevant or speaking outside their field of expertise. And it is often because they are criticizing policies or events damaging society, and particularly those most vulnerable in society. How comfortable are we in speaking out in support of our faith leaders? Do we remember to pray for them as when they are criticized? And can we find the confidence to speak in support of what they have said to people who want to scoff and laugh at the results? And so to Matthew, the reading which brought to memory the story with which I started. This story follows immediately the story of the man leaving the 99 sheep to search for the one that had gone astray, and is followed by that of the servant who is forgiven his debt by his master, but then fails to forgive a fellow servant a debt owed him. He was to be in jail until he had paid what he owed. God decides. Human beings are argumentative and sometimes difficult creatures. After all, not everyone sees the world as I do. Not everyone reaches the same decisions on moral and ethical matters. There are some people we strongly disagree with, and we have decisions to make. On a personal level, to meet in a reasoned and sensible way, to speak reasonably face to face, is always the best way. and failing that, to approach the matter together with support on both sides may bring understanding. To raise matters of debate in common public debate may also be a way of opening the discussion to find a common approach. If we still disagree, if the reasoning given goes against what we believe and understand in faith, and we can make no changes, then it's time to pray, to stand back from the argument, to hand the problem to God, and be prepared to work with Him. He can and will work with us, but as the preceding and following passages clearly tell us, He will also work with those we find difficult to accept. To accept the role of for God can go against the current feeling that as humans we are in control. But then we have to ask ourselves, are we making such a good job of it? Are we really in control? Or are we just people walking on a path? So let us pray. Lord, I place into your hands the things I do each day. Lord, guide me, be with me, support me, and protect me and those I love. Amen.